Hey, what's up, you guys? And welcome to It's a Book Thing, the podcast where I chat about books that I've read that I am in love with or that I drastically hate. I'm your host, Michaela, and if you want to know how I'm doing today, if my voice is any indication, I am severely sick with stupid allergies, drinking some tea, so that's, you know, always lovely. But we are muscling through it because I just finished this book and I need to talk about it while it's still fresh in my mind because I just finished it last night. It is Allie Carter's book, All Fall Down. It is the first in the Embassy Row series. I'm going to go ahead and rate it right now, and I'm going to give it a 98%. So that's like an A+ in my book. For, you know, the people that want to know about the book but haven't read it, I'm just going to give you a little insight. It's a fascinating story about a girl named Grace Blakely. Her mother died when she was 13, and since her mother died, she's been all over the globe with her army father and her brother. And now she is settling back into Embassy Row, which in this book, it's like this whole circle of these different houses where each house is like a different country, like an embassy, if you know what an embassy is. If you don't, I would look it up because I don't know how to describe it. But it's fascinating, and the whole story revolves around the fact that she thinks that she's found her mother's alleged killer. And with that said, I'm just going to hop into the book. So if you haven't read, you know, All Fall Down, I would stop listening to this podcast because I'm about to talk about it. So yeah, bye for now. Hopefully you come back after you've read it. And yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and start it. My first impressions after finishing the book was, frankly, what the fuck? That was my first reaction. I finished it last night at 12. Well, I guess I finished it this morning at 12 a.m. And to be honest, I was so shocked. If you have read this book, you already know I'm jumping straight in with the spoilers. She fucking killed her mom. Oh my god. That was like the weirdest shit ever. Like, I was reading that part where she like has the, she thinks she has the gun, and she's like, I have the gun, and he, you know, the Scarface guy, or what does she call him? Scarman, or what the hell does she call him? It's crazy. Scarred Man, that's what she calls him. I probably should have started at the very beginning, but I just want to give first impressions, which is just that, what the fuck? I saw it coming whenever she starts, like, talking about how she has the gun, and he, like, has pity, and, you know, all the stuff, and she's, like, so upset, and he's, like, reading it back now, she says something like, I will pull this trigger, and his eyes are wide, and he's, like, I know you will, because she had done it before. She had fucking killed her mom. I'm sorry, I've said fucking, like literally for an entire minute, but dude, what the hell? That's insane. And then, like, Miss Chancellor comes by, which, do we ever get her name? Like, what is her name? Because all I know is that her name is Miss Chancellor. They probably gave her a name somewhere in the book, but I did not see it. But then she shoots the Russian guy. Russian ambassador, that's who she shoots? Or prime minister, or Alexei's dad, or... She shoots his dad. And then she goes, oh yeah, he's in a coma. He's not dead necessarily, but he's in a coma. Yeah, because that makes it better, Miss Chancellor. I don't know. I'll be honest, the entire story, the reason that I gave her 98% was because I could not get, for the life of me, I couldn't just start it. Like, it was, you know, she's talking about how she injures herself a lot and whatnot, which honestly, I can already relate to because that's me on a daily basis. If y'all don't know, I am extremely clumsy. It was so difficult for me to get through because the entire story, and at least very much in the first part, she's just like, oh yeah, I'm flashing back and I'm thinking about how my mother is dead and I'm, you know, I'm kind of going crazy. And I was like, okay, look, I understand. Like, you saw your mother die. I understand. But I need you to, like, get... You know what I mean? If you read the book, you know what I'm talking about. Where the, like, entire, like, first part, she's like, oh, I can't do this. And it's, like, doing flashbacks and flash forwards. And I get it. Like, that's fairly common with... I don't know if it says she had PTSD, but And I'm not a psychiatrist, so I cannot diagnose a fictional character with PTSD. But if I had to, I would probably say she had PTSD. Like, it was genuinely, like, she just kept thinking about this, like, the same, like, 5 seconds of her life. And I was like, damn, this, like, really sucks. This really sucks. I'm so sorry, dude. I wish that you could stop doing this because I can't read your stupid fucking book. With that said, I'm gonna go into some of the characters. First character that we actually meet is Miss Chancellor. From the beginning, I was like, I was picturing her as this, like, a 20-year-old woman or whatnot. I was picturing her as young, like, closer to Grace's mom's age. I thought she would have just ended up being, like, the mom figure to Grace. So I was so thrown back whenever she's like, yeah, I knew your mom whenever her mom died and all this other stuff. And I was like, how fucking old are you? But I will say that at the very beginning, she annoyed the actual shit out of me. Like, she reminded me of those, like, secretaries that you see and you're, like, rambling and you're like, oh my god, yeah, well, at least that's me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here to meet, you know, that guy and blah, 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 blah. And they're like, yeah, okay, that's so interesting. And they're just so fake about it. That's what Miss Chancellor reminded me of the entire time, which is why, like, towards, like, the middle, when she started being, like, super sympathetic, I was like, bitch, you were, like, so fake. Genuinely, you were so fucking fake. I don't understand what is going on here, because I did not even think that you liked Grace. I was like, this is ridiculous. So that was my first reactions to Ms. Chancellor. You know, towards the end of the book, like, I did, if I'm being honest, I thought, and I think this is what Ally Carter wants you to think, but I thought that she was the murderer. I thought she was the one telling the scarred man to go off and kill people. I was like, damn, it's gotta be you. And then, you know, when she drugs Grace, you're even more like, holy shit, it's her. It's Ms. Chancellor. And then, you know, me, of course, I go, I fucking knew it. And then we get to the end and it's the Prime Minister and I'm like, well, I guess I didn't know it. Psych. Just kidding. So that was really interesting. Let's see. The next character that we see is Noah. Grace describes him as having spiky hair. And so when I'm thinking of spiky hair, and please let me know if I'm not the only one thinking this, I was thinking, like, 90s vibes. Like, 90s, like, Justin Timberlake with the spiked hair. Like, you know, not the frosted tips, but, like, the spiked hair and shit. Like, I was thinking that he had, like, 90s hair. Now, I don't know if... I could be right. He could have 90s hair. We don't know. But I was like... That was my first reaction when she was like, yeah, he has spiky hair. And I was like, 90s? I don't know. Noah... Oh, my gosh. Noah's, like, that friend... God, he's so adorable. I can't, ugh. He's that friend that you, like, he's that guy that you know you should date. Like, he's the nice guy. That's gonna make me sound like an asshole. He's, like, the nice, but, you know, he's the nice guy. He's the nice guy that you should date. That you should be, like, yeah, oh my gosh, let's get married and let's have a bunch of kids and let's just be so cute together. Like, he's, like, the cute first boyfriend. If I were to compare this to another relationship, actually, if I'm being completely honest, I'm going to compare it to another one of Ally Carter's books. I'm going to compare it to Josh and Cammy in the Gala Girl series. If you haven't read that, it's a really sweet book. And I'm not spoiling anything for you because literally the plot is that Cammy gets with Josh in the first book. But just like, you know, just like Noah, Josh is like that super sweet. Like, you know, he's not a bad boy and he's not mysterious and he's just... He's wholesome. He's boy next door. He's the guy that, you know, every single mother wishes that her daughter would date, and every single dad loved the guy. Because they know that Noah, like the Noahs and the Joshes, would never break their daughter's heart. They would try so very hard not to. And so that would be so simple. But, you know, just like Gala Girls, we have this dynamic here where it's Noah versus Alexei. And if I'm being completely honest, part of me doesn't think that Noah wants to get with Grace. Because he and... What, is her name Megan? Her name is fucking Megan. Let me just tell you, if your name... I'm sorry. In my eyes, to earn Noah. Granted, I don't think... I don't want him to end up with Grace either, because she's just a hot fucking mess, so she could use some work too, but like, I don't know what it is about Megan. Megan annoys me. I shouldn't say she annoys me, because she has some really good qualities. I will say that. You know, she's, you know, I just, I can't, I can't even like, I don't even know how to like articulate why she annoys me. It's just like, that whole scene, like whenever she's with Lila, and I have a feeling, this series is done, I'm pretty sure it's a trilogy, and I have all three books, so get ready for those suckers to come out too. But I have a feeling like that dynamic with Megan and Lila and Grace is going to come back into play, and I have no clue who Megan would choose in that case. I mean, you know, she makes all these, like, remarks about how she really cared about Grace and how she went to her mom's funeral. And, you know, she says a lot of sweet things. But also, it just kind of reminds me of, like, when you had that friend. Like, you know, like, whenever you... It's like if you saw someone from your high school that you were really good friends with in high school, but now you just don't talk to them. It would be like them being super sweet, but then they have their own friends, and so, you know, that dynamic is off, and I don't know if that dynamic is going to, you know, actually affect how, you know, Grace and Megan interact with each other in the future books. It probably will, if, I mean, because there would be no reason for Ali Carter to set this up in the first book if she wasn't going to do something with it. And then, fuck Lila, if I'm being honest. I could deal with less of her. I was really glad that she wasn't in this book as much. She was really only in for like 2% of the book. I fucking hated Lila. God, she sucked. I really hope I'm saying her name right too. I really hope her name's Lila. I'm not gonna go try to find it in the book because I don't care that much about her. But she sucks so hard. Especially, like, I get it. You know, Grace was like, Grace fucking called her out. She called her out on her bullshit. She's like, look, I know you. I've seen you at every single school that I've been at. There's always a you. And I was like, when I saw that, I was like, look, kinda, like, super. It was like that meme where it's like, how could you say something so bold yet so controversial? Because Lila's, like, obviously, like, you know, people kind of like Lila. Like, they at least kind of respect her a little bit. She's, like, the boss so people don't get in trouble. But also, like, they hate her, too. But I was like, damn, you're really just going out for the big guns out here on the schoolyard. You're really just trying to get out there and get her. And I was like, dude, that's so fucking crazy that you would do something like that. So, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that this dynamic between, you know, Lila and Megan and Grace is going to come back in. And I hate Lila. And I just can't stand her. Especially when she said that thing to Grace about, like, you need to stay away from Noah. And I was like, okay, that's weird and uncalled for. Did Noah have any friends before Grace? I mean, and I don't get why he wouldn't have any friends, but I was like, did he? Maybe Rosie, who, oh my god, I fucking love Rosie. Rosie was a highlight to my entire experience reading this book. She was phenomenal. I loved her so fucking much. She made me so happy. And I'll be honest, like, these past 2 days have been a real shithole. And then I sat down and I started reading this book and I was like, wow, this book is making me feel worse because it's making me, you know, I liked it. I liked the mystery, but it was like at the beginning, it was dragging on. But then we met Rosie and I was like, you know what? There's a light at the end of this tunnel and it is a fucking 12-year-old gymnast. It's fantastic. You know, she's just so, oh, she's such a 12-year-old. And I, you know, and Grace even says as much when, you know, she's going through that whole hard time where she, you know, she's like, dude, yeah, no, the scarred man is really not real. And I totally just pounced on his back and, you know, all this other stuff. And she's, like, going through that hard time. Now she's, like, taking all these, like, now they put on, like, all these narcotics and shit. And then Rosie is like, hey, come on, like, let me in. Or I really hope I'm on the right part. I really hope that that's what it happened. But she's all like, yeah, let me in, please. And then Grace just shuts the blinds. You know, she has that moment to herself where she's like, I was 12 once too, and then my life went to hell because my mother died. I love that Rosie is innocent, and I love that you can kind of see that, that you can kind of see that she's innocent, and then you can kind of see, like, her world kind of shift whenever she sees Grace, you know, actually break down, and Grace is actually going through shit, and she's, like, pleading for her to open the window and to talk to her and, you know, have fun with her and stuff like that and, you know, be a kid because, you know, Grace is only 16. Grace shouldn't have to deal with all this shit. And Rosie, you know, is just like, you know, this was fun, like, this whole, like, catacombs or, I guess, tunnels, but it is kind of like a catacombs, but this whole, like, catacombs tunnel shit, and she's like, look, like, we're having so much fun, and sure, we're trying to find a murderer, but look at us go, oh my god, you know, all that stuff. And Rosie just wants Grace to, you know, have that moment, but, you know, Grace knows the real world, and I think that's what's difficult between this dynamic. I really hope that Rosie is able to bring a little more joy in her life, because I did kind of see that joy spark whenever she met Rosie. You know, she met her and, you know, there was a brief fleeting moment of happiness in her life, and I was extremely happy because I was like, yay, all I've seen you do is have a difficult time with your mom's death, which, you know, granted, fair, but I just want you to, like, you know, experience joy. And, you know, with Rosie, she was able to do that, and it just made me so happy. So I was like, yes. And I just really hope that we get to see more of that dynamic shift and, you know, change Grace. But, you know, at the same time, I feel like we're gonna get, like, that moment, because I feel like all authors do it, where they have this innocent character and then they just fuck off that bitch life. God, and I do not want that to happen to Rosie. She's too nice for that shit. She's too nice, and I don't want it to happen, but there's two books, so I can't even tell Allie Carter not to let that happen to her, because she's not even listening, and she's already written the two other books, so there's nothing I can really say. But yeah, that's just how I feel about Rosie, and I just love her, and I think she's so sweet. And now, on to Alexei. I really hope that's his name, too. It looks like it's his name. It looks like it should be his name. I really hope that's his name. How am I gonna talk about Alexei? I have this problem with male characters in books and, oh my gosh, and TV shows and movies who act like they are the sworn protectors of people. Like, not even, like, girls. Like, it's not even, like, a feminist thing for me. It's, like, I can't handle it when they think that it all depends on them. It's, like, that hero complex that I don't fuck with it. I don't, you know, and to give you an example of one where it is not a girl-guy thing, Dean Winchester. I can't fuck with Dean Winchester and his fucking hero complex. If you don't know who Dean Winchester is, he is one of the main characters on this TV show called Supernatural, and I'm just inserting that because, you know, that's just my example of, you know, a not guy girl thing, so that you know that there are times when that does, you know, when it's that kind of situation too. And I don't know what it is about it. I don't know why I hate it so much. You know, maybe it is because I'm a feminist. Who fucking knows? But I cannot stand it. Oh my gosh. I can't stand it. And I've just said I can't stand it like 30 times. But it just bothers me. Like, everything does not depend on you. So Alexei did that literally he did the one thing I hate the most throughout the entire book. And every time he did it, I was like, look, I'm annoyed. Please stop this. I'm begging you. But, you know, but also at the same, what bothered me the most about it is that it was when Grace actually needed him. the whole time. I was like, there's going to be a moment that turns and she, you know, like plucks up and she has this moment of courage where she's not, you know, dealing with this and she can get past this, but she can't. And, you know, I think that really kind of, I think throughout the book, I was waiting for that moment. And she's just kind of the entire time is going through a hard time. And she keeps trying to show people that she's brave and stuff and that she's fine. And she, you know, of course, does the whole, you know, fun thing where we hide our emotions with humor. You know, we cover them with humor. And maybe I didn't like it as much because it really, like, spoke out to me. And I was like, shit, I do that all the time. So maybe that was really what I couldn't stand. But I liked that she needed help. Like, I like that she couldn't, I liked that she couldn't do this by herself. That this wasn't something that she could just be like, oh, it's a revenge vendetta. I can do this by myself. Because she tried to do that and then it didn't work and she needed other people. And I loved that. And I, you know, you see that in a lot of other books too. But I just loved that specifically for this one. And I loved that even when she couldn't keep going, even when she, you know, was in her bedroom, you know, drugged and, you know, didn't want to move and didn't want to eat and didn't want to do anything, she still had those people in her life to come pick her up. And back to Alexei, I feel like that's kind of why I couldn't hate him completely. Like, I couldn't completely be mad at him because, you know, he was just another person that was coming there and helping her. But I think it was the way he worded some things. Like, you're my responsibility, or I'm supposed to take care of you, or, like, I can't remember exactly the exact phrases he used, but he said stuff on the basis of that, or I told Jamie that I would look out for you, and God, I hated it so much. I hated that part of it, but I liked that he was there for Grace. And now, going into Grace's and Alexei's relationship, what is it? What is going on? I'm confused. Those are my reactions to their relationship. And, you know, the whole time I'm, like, reading this book, I'm like, dude, there's going to be a moment where, like, you know, it shifts, the relationship shifts. And it was that freaking moment when they're on the rooftop and he's like, I think he said, I'm not taking care of you because you're Jamie's sister. I'm taking care of you because I want to take care of you, or something. I wish I could find it. Oh no, I wish I could find it in my book, but I can't because my book is now across the room, so I won't touch it. But I liked, there's some things that, you know, you can always rely on in certain books, and it was just that shift, and I was waiting for that shift, and the whole time I was like, where is that shift happening? And I don't necessarily know if Grace truly liked Alexei at the beginning of the book. I'm kind of sensing that she might have. That she might have, you know, had something for him at the beginning of the book. And, or maybe just, like, before she got to Embassy Row. And I don't know if it was just too subtle that I wasn't picking up on it. Or if it just wasn't there and so there was nothing to read into. But, you know, you can obviously tell that she cares about him because, you know, they're around each other all the time and whatnot. And, you know, even when they're not supposed to be around each other and stuff like that. And there's a trope. And the trope is that the bad guys, or I don't even want to call him a bad guy because he's not. He's just mysterious and he's just aloof, if I can say that. He's kind of aloof and he's, you know, standoffish at times and whatnot. Like, mainly towards the beginning of the book. And I feel like that's kind of the ones that the characters tend to go for the most, honestly. So I loved it when they got together, finally. I was so happy. I was so extremely happy when they finally got together. Because I was like, or they didn't even really get together, but when they had that moment, I was like, I knew it. I knew y'all are going to be together. And then I was already going, like, well, Grace and Alexei are going to get together, and Noah and Megan are going to get together, and Rosie is going to do her old gymnastics thing, and everything is going to be so fun. So that's just really, I love it. I love it. I think it's so cute, and I think they're so cute, and I just love their dynamic, and I guess it's like that, you know, that bickering type of, I don't even want to call it romance because it's not necessarily romance. They're not really romantic, but they're familiar, I guess that's the right word. They're kind of familiar with each other. There's an air. They've known each other so long and all this stuff. And I just loved that they, you know, they bicker and she gets mad at him whenever she's mad. And he understands when she's mad and he understands how to calm her down and, you know, and all this other stuff. I just loved that. So, yes, I love Alexei and I hate his hero complex. But other than that, he was fantastic. Going into the actual plot of the book, fantastic plot. I thought that this whole idea, you know, that she's trying to find the person that she, no one will listen to her. Everyone thinks she's crazy and she thinks that everyone thinks she's crazy and she thinks that no one wants to listen to her. When really this whole thing could be avoided if they had found a way to tell her. And honestly, I get why they didn't, because, I mean, when is the right time to tell, you know, a young woman that she killed her mother on accident because her mother was trying to fake her own death? When is the right time to tell someone that? And I just, you know, honestly, I feel like they could have hypnotized her, honestly. They could have, you know, made it seem like there was just a simple little fire in a simple little antique shop. You know, all this other stuff, but they didn't, unfortunately, and so her whole life she had to feel like no one cared about what she was saying and no one was listening and that everyone thought she was crazy, and she made a different memory up in her head, and I think that was so difficult. I'll be honest, I wanted her to get the scarred man. I wanted her to, you know, finally catch him and to, you know, put him to justice and to make him pay for hurting her mom. And then, you know, turns out he like loves her, and that whole scene in the very end, I was like, oh my god, this is so sad. And I knew at the beginning, whenever Grace was trying to figure out why the scarred man would kill her mom, when Megan said, well, why do you think he killed your mom? And she's like, well, he must have been an old lover or all the stuff, and, you know, was trying to make, you know, all these examples up. And Megan is just not believing her. She's like, okay, yeah, that. And, you know, I don't think she ever really says anything, but it's explicit that she doesn't think that's the reason, that there's got to be more to it. And I will say it really killed me that Grace didn't think that her mom had something else going on. Like, her mom is, like, the daughter of an embassy, like, ambassador? An embassy ambassador. Like, you don't think that your mom is doing something more than running an antique shop? Like, if you, a true conspirator, which I am, would always look for all the other reasons. Like, why else would her mother, you know, be killed? Maybe her mother was running an underground goods smuggling services. Like, she worked in an antique shop. You couldn't think of anything or any other reason as to why your mother was killed. And that's just, that was just a personal problem I had, that she didn't even have the imagination to think of that. And I don't think it's about imagination. I just don't think she wanted to think that her mom had other stuff going on. And I understand that, but it was so annoying. But yeah, you know, the party at the very beginning was so fun. I loved the whole, like, kind of mean girls moment that Noah had while he was showing her around. And he was all like, yeah, these are, like, the rich embassy people. And these are the people that belong to multiple countries. And these are these people. And these are these people. And I was like, the whole time I'm reading it, I'm like, dude, this is so Mean Girls. Like, he's so, like, Janice right now. Or not even Janice. Oh, damn, I can't remember the other guy's name. Oh, no, please don't spite me. Ha, 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 ha. I can't remember his name, so I'm not gonna even try to attempt to fake a name. But no, he reminds me of the other guy. Not Janice, but the actual guy. And it just made me laugh so much. It was so funny. And she was like, where do you fit in? And, you know, he claimed he had a spot, but you can just kind of tell that he's, like, the goofball outsider that everyone kind of laughs at, but no one is really, like, truly his friend is how it kind of felt. Like, they all like him and they all think that he's, you know, a cool guy, but I don't think any of them are really, like, that good of friends with him. Which, whenever he was like, yeah, now we're best friends, I was like, aw, do you not have any other friends? Is that why she's your best friend? And the whole time she's like, you don't want to be best friends with me. And I was like, could you shut up and be Noah's friend? Like, goddamn, be Noah's best friend, please. Shit. God, you don't have any friends, so fucking be his friend. I don't get why that's so difficult for you. I was, like, so pissed off at her. I was like, I get that you have emotional issues, Grace. I get it. But I need you to just be friends with Noah, please, because he warms my little cold heart. So. Oh, one character I did not talk about, and maybe that's because I just fucking hated him. I just did not like him. The grandpa. I did not like the grandpa, and I don't think you're supposed to like the grandpa. I think you're supposed to try to sympathize with him a little bit, because his daughter died. I think you're supposed to, like, kind of feel, you know, some empathy for him, but he was such an asshole. Oh, yeah, we're going off to, like, I know that wasn't him, but one of the ambassadors was like, we're going off to do guy things. And I was just like, please don't be that guy. I get that you're an older man, so okay, boomer. But, like, could you not be so fucking gross? Like, and then every time he was busy and she was like, Grace was like, well, where's my grandfather? I want to talk to my grandfather. And her grandfather was just in the other room playing fucking poker. Like, are you shitting me right now, dude? Are you shitting me? Your granddaughter comes in and you cannot just, like, stop playing your fucking game and talk to her. Like, you can't. So, I don't know. The grandfather annoyed me a lot. But I guess a lot of people annoyed me in this book, which is really funny. I wasn't thinking a lot of them would. What do I want to think of? The ball, and the dress, and what are some things I can say about that? That whole etiquette scene where they're teaching her etiquette, and I was like, is this really necessary? Because then she gets to the ball, and I get that she's doing, like, some bowing and some handshaking and whatnot, but everyone seems to be treating her fairly informally. Like, you know, Princess Anne, and I get it that that's her mom's, like, best friend or whatever, or that was her mom's best friend, but, like, was it really necessary that she go through all that etiquette shit? The funniest part about that freaking scene for me was that she was doing it in, like, sweatpants and, like, an old ratted t-shirt. That's how I'm imagining her with, like, her hair sticking all out, and she just looks like absolute hell. And then Noah comes in and he's, like, all pressed and stuff, and he's like, let's dance, let's learn how to curtsy. And it just made me so happy. I was like, this is so fucking funny. This is my favorite thing ever. So that was the part about the etiquette that I loved, but the main part about it that I didn't like was that I didn't really understand it, because then she gets to the ball and it's not really like that was, like, it didn't really seem like that was an all too present, like, fear that she was like, I mean, I know she said, like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to fall down, but that's also because the dress was really tight, so I feel like that was less about the curtsying and more about the, my dress is too tight type of thing. I don't know. I felt like that was a scene that could have been, like, taken out or something. I'm glad it wasn't, because I loved that Noah scene, so I don't know. I just didn't feel like the etiquette thing was that important. I felt like they blew it up. Like, I felt like Miss Chancellor kind of blew it up, and it wasn't really that insane. What else do I want to talk about? Oh my god, I knew what I wanted to talk about. The freaking scene where she accidentally pops up in Korea and she's like, oh my god, this is crazy. And it was the funniest shit ever. And I felt like, Korea, get your shit together, dude. Like, it's not that big of a deal, Korea. Goddamn. And they were like, I can't believe she broke into Korea. Blah, 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 blah. But I couldn't deal with it. And she was like, I was scared. I accidentally went into the tunnels. Which, okay, let's go into this tunnel. Let's sidebar again. I'm so sorry. This is so, like, out of control. But let's sidebar again. The tunnels. How are you picturing these tunnels? Because I am picturing it as, like, whenever they, like, you know how they described the Ministry of Magic, like, how you get into the Ministry of Magic with the toilet and you, like, flush yourself down? That is how I'm imagining it. I'm imagining, like, the tunnel opening up like a spiral and just like plopping her down. And I don't know if that's wrong. So, you know, if someone is listening to this, go ahead and message me about that. You will be able to message me. I don't know how you will, but I will figure out a way for you to message me. It was just like, it was so ridiculous. Because every single time I was thinking about her going down the tunnels, I was like imagining that happening. Okay, I don't necessarily know if there's a whole lot I want to talk about anymore. I mean, I know, I will say it made me extremely sad when, you know, Princess Anne was talking to her, and anytime that they talked about the mom's funeral and stuff, which, you know, obviously, like, it was a funeral, so it's not, like, a happy occasion, so I should have felt sad, but the whole time they're talking about it, I'm like, dude, this was someone's, like, best friend. This was someone's, like, wife. This was someone's mother and all this stuff. And, you know, it was easy to think about it as, like, oh, Grace's, like, imagination and, you know, the voice in Grace's head. But then you saw, like, the people actually affected by it. You know, you saw Princess Anne and you saw the scarred man, which I don't want to call him the scarred man. I'm going to call him Dominic now because he's just... Like, this man was willing to, like, risk his job to save a woman that he loved way, like, in the past, and, you know, she was married, and so that's just, like, insane to me. That was so insanely, like, adorable and sweet and whatnot, and I couldn't, like, it was sweet. But, like, you saw these people and how they reacted to, you know, seeing the daughter again, and, you know, everyone's like, you look just like your mother, and all this other stuff, and it was just so heart-wrenching to have to see that. It was so sad. But yeah, I think that's really the only thing I want to say after that. Hopefully I didn't really miss anything too big. I will say though, now for the end, because I said the end because I want to, or I saved the end for last, obviously, because I want to kind of discuss what I think is going to happen in the next book. I want to do some predictions. So this is my predictions moment. Oh my god, I hate that. This is my predictions moment. Let's see. The Prime Minister. I was not expecting that. I'll be honest. The whole time, I'm thinking it's Miss Chancellor and Dominic. And then it turns out that it's not. It's the Prime Minister the entire time. And I was just like, is that why he was so against them hanging out? Like, I mean, I get, you know, Russia and America, they aren't really on good terms and whatnot. But, like, was it really just because he tried to have her mother killed? Or thought he succeeded in killing her mother? Is that what it was? So, my predictions. You know, I think the Prime Minister is obviously going to wake up at some point. I think he's probably going to be I think it's going to be big news when he wakes up in the second book. I feel like that's going to be a big, like, oh shit moment. I am so curious to know what Grace's mom did. If I had to be honest, I think it'd be really cool if she was a spy. If it was like a honeypot situation and she was like, you know, flirting with the other men in the embassy to like get her way or something like that. But see, or maybe she just is in charge of secrets. Maybe, let's go with that. She found out people's secrets by being spy-like. And the Prime Minister has a really juicy secret, like sexual relations with a member from Parliament or something like that. I don't know. Maybe she has some dirt in him. And maybe that's going to be very important. And maybe, I mean, you know, I know why he tried to have Grace killed, because Grace, you know, remembered Dominic and whatnot, and so he was like, oh no, she's gonna ruin this whole thing for us. Other than that, I really don't know. Like, ugh, I know that I just called this a prediction moment, but I basically was so vague. I just think that there is some big, deep secret that Grace's mom had on the Prime Minister, and that's why the Prime Minister needed her dead. Or maybe Grace's mom threatened him or tried to blackmail him, and that's why he had to have her dead. So I guess I really can't say for sure. What I think is going to probably happen with the characters, you know, I think that Grace and Alexei are going to have more moments in this next book. I think they're also going to have a falling out, just because it always seems like there's, you know, in books there's a moment that they should be talking to each other and they don't. And I feel like that's probably going to happen, where Grace thinks that Alexei went out with another girl, and then he probably didn't. Or Alexei thinks that Grace did something with Noah, but she didn't, because I could never do that with Noah. He's my best friend. You know, I think something like that is going to probably happen. I think that they're going to be together by the third book. If I'm being completely honest, I can probably already see them canon. If Noah and Megan don't get together, I'm going to be upset. I think, I hate to say it, but I do think that Rosie is going to experience something that just changes her whole mindset, turns her into a more mature woman, really. I hope that that doesn't, you know, take away from her free spirit, but I do think that that's probably going to happen. I think Megan is going to have to make a big decision between Lila and Grace. I think that's going to be a conflict for Megan. I really do think so. If I'm being honest, I think that Miss Chancellor is going to get her moment to rise to some semblance of power, because she said that thing where she was like, well, the princess bided her time for her husband to die, and then she ruled for 60 years. And I was like, shit, Miss Chancellor, that's fucking dark. You go, though. I'm ready for that power shift. I think that she's going to get a bigger role in the authority process. And just because I think Dominic's going to die. He's too sweet and he's too much of a good person that he's probably going to die. That is my death prediction. And I think that's the end of my book talk. I want you to stay tuned, because I am going to be releasing a lot of these episodes fairly quickly, so, you know, they get more traction. So basically, as soon as I finish a book, I'm probably going to record a video and send it out there. As I start to get, you know, more of a following, I'll probably then start to do an actual schedule. And I promise that the rest of my podcasting, the rest of my episodes aren't going to be this sporadic. I'm probably going to have a script and points that I'm going to want to talk about. This time I just kind of wanted to, you know, voice my opinions, see how this felt, see if it was, you know, natural for me. And it is. It's my natural state of mind. So I really liked this, and I hope y'all like it too. With that said, that is all for this video. If you would like to, you can follow me on my personal account. It is Mikayla, M-K-A-Y-L-A, period 13 on Instagram, and I don't think Twitter, but it is on Instagram. So you can follow me on Instagram. I think my Twitter handle is Mikayla _101 or something like that. But yeah, that is the end of this podcast. Go ahead and share this with other people. Like it. Subscribe to it if I have that ability to make that, you know, a possibility. Go ahead and subscribe to it. I will see y'all in the next episode. So stay tuned and keep reading. Bye.